Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Well, you've heard of the films Facing the Giants, Fireproof, and Courageous. In fact, I've played clips from those movies on past shows and even talked to the producers of these great films on past shows. Well, today I'm honored to talk with them again about their newest project, The War Room, and I've been tweeting and Facebooking about this because I got to go see this movie that releases this weekend on a media pass. My hubby and I did. We were just holding hands praying before the movie started. And I even got to tell you, while we were praying before the movie started, God just dropped a fresh vision in our hearts. We've just been asking God to do impossible things. And he dropped just a fresh vision in our hearts for some of the impossible things that we believe he wants us to do in a third world country. And we actually took notes on our napkin that we were using for our buttered popcorn. And it was just that the movie, oh my word, knocked my socks off. We're going to play the trailer just here in a minute before I introduce Stephen and Alex Kendrick. Second hour, we'll be talking to Carrie Scott about loosening those knots of insecurity. You know how your gut gets tangled up in knots when you feel misunderstood, misjudged, or something triggers an insecurity. We're going to talk about how to untangle those knots. So let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Alex and Stephen Kendrick write, produce, and direct films with strong biblical themes. They are well known for Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Courageous, and Fireproof. Together, their films have grossed a combined $78 million and are used by churches and ministries around the world as tools to equip believers and share the gospel story. We're going to welcome them in just a moment, but I want you to hear the movie trailer from the upcoming War Room, and I want you to go see it this weekend really, really bad. Listen to the trailer.
Hey, you know what? I thought your jump roping routine was really good.
I just got a notification that you moved money from our savings into your checking account.
Can we talk about this later?
You must be the real estate agent. Well, it's so good to meet you. Let me show you the house.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
Prayer strategy.
I sure could use some of that. Tony, you should go see your practice tomorrow.
I'm out of town this week.
When were you going to tell me?
I just did.
Tony,
that was my favorite ref.
Real good. How you doing?
I wish I lived at your house. Whenever my parents are together, they just fight.
Dude, I can't get a pass from you. It'd be easier to baptize a cat.
I just need you to blow off a little steam, okay?
There's one thing we do well. It's fight.
You do not want World War III to break out in your home.
No, I don't.
Just because you argue a lot doesn't mean that you fight well. You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Then you got to get out of the way and let him do it. You need to do your fighting in prayer.
Keep fighting the good fight.
I've never seen anybody do what you did.
It's time for you to take off the gloves and fight for your match.
Keep fighting the good.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Keep fighting the good.
Okay, I just got to say, if that don't stoke your flame, your wood just might be wet. Oh, my goodness. Stephen and Alex Kendrick, welcome to the program. So glad to have you today.
Thank you, Susie. It's always an honor to talk to you.
Well, I just got the holy goosebumps listening to that all over again. And I remember, I think, Alex, you were the last one I had on the show, and I want to say it was maybe 2 years ago. Before you started even working on this film, we were talking about Courageous. And I said, what are you guys working on next? And you said, honestly, we don't really know, but we're in the praying phase. Would you join us in prayer? So I really did. And I know a number of our listeners did as well. I got to ask before we get to your verses that we love to start out with. Alex, I'll start with you. When did it first become clear that the actual topic was going to be prayer for this next film?
Really, we got the first inkling of what the Lord was directing us to do in 2012, and that was this whole concept of the war room and how to fight in prayer. And it began taking shape in 2013. We began researching and really seeking the Lord on how to tell the story. We wrote the script and shot it in 2014 and did the first round of edits in that fall, and we finished it earlier this year. And so, you know, these are all very much journeys for us. We don't ever flippantly just charge into a story because we know it's 2 years of our life. And so, it, you know, it goes back to 2012 for us. But, again, the Lord has been so faithful. There's such a string of answered prayers and confirmations along the way. And he's really done a work in our own heart concerning prayer.
Wow. And it was 3 years ago then, because I remember you saying, not quite sure yet. So that must have been when it was. Wow. And, Stephen, I know you've talked about this, too. I know you guys really endure opposition, but I feel like you do it so graciously and gracefully because you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and on the faithfulness and all the answers to prayer. Looking back over this last couple years, would you say you've learned something new about God in this newest endeavor?
Absolutely. The faithfulness of God is demonstrated with each of our films. The provision of God has been demonstrated. He is very precise. I mean, he can provide to the second, to the penny, exactly what is needed in the moment. And we've told people, you know, he'll lay tracks in front of a moving train if you'll move forward in obedience and do what he's telling you to do. Hmm. And so we moved to North Carolina, moved our families up there to be able to shoot this film. As a step of faith, we felt like that's what God was leading us to do. We didn't have the funding worked out. We didn't have all the locations worked out. We didn't have all the actors worked out. And we saw the Lord. And the people on our crew saw it happen, how God just consistently provided perfectly what was needed to confirm that he was with us. We had over 85 churches across racial and denominational lines rise up and support us to help us make War Room.
Thank you.
One of the things about prayer, though, that has impacted me personally is the persistence in prayer and patience in prayer. God, consistently in Scripture, he invites us to pray. When Jesus says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, it's not because God has not heard us, but his timing is perfect. And so when you look at Elijah prayed one time and fire came down from heaven, but it took three times of praying before the widow's son who had died was resurrected. But he prayed seven times before God sent back rain. He just learned, keep praying and waiting on the Lord's perfect timing. Mm. And so for us, we've learned, you cast your cares upon the Lord. You hit the ball in his court. Ask for the moon, you know, get right with him and try to ask that God will be glorified in your circumstances through each thing that you're encountering. But then wait on him. And sometimes it's that day when you pray it that he answers. Sometimes it's a week, a month, a year, and sometimes it's a decade later. It's two decades later before God responds, but his timing is always perfect, and he's going to receive the most glory in that context.
Oh, so, so good. So let's start with these scripture. Alex, you chose Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Talk about that verse, if you would, Alex.
Well, you know, we're really good as a culture in America of seeking God half-heartedly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus told us, I would rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. That's when he says he'll spew us out of his mouth. And in the movie, you see this, you know, there's a joke, and I'm going to ruin it for you, but only because I think this point is too important to make, where this woman is served lukewarm coffee. And she takes a sip of it and says, this is nasty. I'm not going to drink lukewarm coffee. And the other lady says, well, you know, it's interesting. People drink their coffee hot or cold, but no one ever, ever drinks it lukewarm. And she says, not even the Lord. Now, of course, that's symbolic. But But so that verse, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with your whole heart, is another call that we can't do this half-hearted. A half-hearted effort is just like saying, God, you are not worthy of my total effort to seek you. And, of course, that's never what we would want to say. And so we have to separate anything from our lives that would dull down our sensitivity to the Lord. And I often say, God, is there anything in my heart? As David prayed, search me and know me, see if there's any wicked way in my heart. Is there anything in me that you are displeased with? Not to be legalistic, but to have a close walk with God. And so that verse for me kind of sums up our heart for this film.
Mm, and we are in that kind of day where we really need to take a look if there anything standing in the way, anything blocking our even capacity to see him. And Stephen, you chose John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Oh, love that verse. Say more about it.
Well, it's interesting that many times people say, well, you can only pray for what you need, but you can't pray for what you want. And James 4 clearly says if we have lust in our heart or, you know, if pride or greed is our motivation, God's not going to be pleased with that request. But John 15:7, takes it to the next level. And Jesus says, if you're abiding in me and a close, intimate walk with me, and my word is in you and is filling your heart, he says in that context, the Greek there actually means ask for your heart's desire and it will be done for you. And I remember when I read that, I was like, is this for real? You know, it threw back to Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And in that verse in the Old Testament, the Hebrew there for desires is actually the word petitions. That when I'm delighting in the Lord and I'm loving him more than anything else and I'm wanting to please him more than anything else, then I'm in the right context for him to entrust me and say, okay, what can I do for you now? And so I went back and did a scriptural search on how many times in scripture does somebody open up the floodgates and say, what is it you want? I'm going to do it for you. And Jonathan did it with David after their souls were knit together. He said, David, anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Boaz said it to Ruth when he woke up and she was at his feet and he was so impressed with her. And he said, ask for anything and I'll do it for you. And if we think about Jesus and his heavenly Father, that he said at any point I could ask for him to send down 12 legions of angels or whatever, and it would be granted to me. And so Solomon said to God, God said, Solomon, what do you want? What's your heart's desire in this context? And he asked wisely for wisdom. And so when we're right with the Lord and he is our first love and he is our number one priority, then God, in that context, opens up more of the floodgates of prayer and says, okay, your heart is in the right place now. If you're asking for something that's good, if it's not sin, then ask. And in God's timing, he will respond in a way that he'll get the glory from that.
Such a good word. We often say on the show that any gift from his hand pales in comparison to the treasure of knowing his heart. But even so, he gives good gifts to his kids. And boy, it's to his Father's glory, Jesus says, that we bear much fruit. I'm going to talk more with Stephen and Alex Kendrick about that very thing and about the movie War Room. Whatever plans you have, can I be a little bossy this weekend? And that, which is so not like me. But change your plans and go to this movie. You will be so glad you did. Bring a bunch of people with you. When we come back, we'll talk more with Stephen and Alex Kendrick. Had to let that song play a little bit. I'm not sure if Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote that song in conjunction with the movie, but I saw a movie, kind of a music video that showed scenes from your film with Stephen's new song. Were they kind of written in conjunction with each other?
Yes, they were. We showed him the film and asked him if he would write the closing credits song, and Warrior came out of that. And we love the song. It is very powerful.
Wow, love him. Just love what you guys are doing. Talking to Stephen and Alex Kendrick today, producers of the new film coming out this weekend, The War Room. I told you before I saw this movie, I cannot endorse it enough. I love it. I want everybody to see it. You know I'm a person of prayer, and I just think this is where the battle is won, is on our knees. And if you don't mind, guys, I'd love to go back to the beginning because it really, I know this from interviewing you in past seasons, even though other movies have been about other things like, you know, the courage of a man and the importance of marriage and integrity and all those things. All of this groundwork has been laid with prayer. That's been a landmark thing for both of you. Take us back to when you first sensed God inviting you to make this first film, when really that seemed completely crazy because you didn't have like a studio or, you know, talk about the context of that and how you started. Stephen, we'll start with you.
Well, this is Alex. He's coming back in just a second. But now, you know what happened was we grew up with a video camera on our shoulder, and actually for about 8 years in our childhood, we did not even have a television. So we had to be creative, and once in a while we would go see family-friendly movies, mainly Disney films, in the theater. And I remember thinking, we must do this. So we would run around our neighborhood with our friends making movies and edit between our VCR and our video camera. So it was very crude editing, but we learned how to do it, and we fell in love with the vehicle of telling stories. Later on, we would go to seminary and become ordained ministers after our communication degrees in college, and we carried that love with us. And in 1999, meaning Alex, came down to Sherwood Baptist in Albany, Georgia. Stephen followed 2 years later. We both became associate pastors, and it was not long after that we approached our pastor about doing a low-budget feature film called Flywheel just for our community. We wanted to get it in one theater to reach out, and we bathed that thing in prayer and fumbled our way through it. It was hard to make that movie because we had never done one before, and God had bigger plans. He started changing people's lives, bringing them to our church, and many men would say, I went in to see this movie, and I saw myself on the screen. And we watched how God did amazing things, and of course that led to a season of prayer, and we followed that up with Facing the Giants, about overcoming fear with faith, and then Fireproof, about unconditional love and marriage. Courageous is about stepping up to spiritual leadership and really investing in our families and our children the way God intended. And, of course, War Room is about the power of prayer.
Mm, so good. Do we have Stephen back with you yet? Is he back with you next to you, or is he?
Yes, I'm listening.
Hey, Stephen, sorry.
I handed Alex the telephone so he could speak into it, and so I didn't hear the question.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to
ask
him.
Of all the inconveniences, yeah. So no problem at all. So, Stephen, if you would, you know, you've got these different resources like the Battle Plan for Prayer, and you open the Battle Plan for Prayer. It's like a basic training for prayer with a story of a young farming family who were caught in the middle of a tornado. That was just powerful. Would you mind just retelling that story and its connection to you and Alex?
Sure. There was a farmer in Moultrie, Georgia in 1942. He and his wife looked up and they see a tornado approaching their farm. And he runs for cover, and his wife grabs her two young daughters, and she gets up underneath the kitchen table. And as the tornado comes to hit their house, she cries out to God at the top of her voice for him to somehow rescue their family. Well, then the sound of the tornado fades into the distance, and she walks outside with her daughters to see the aftermath of the storm. The giant oak trees in their yard had been felled. The power lines were down around their house. The barn next to their house had been hit, and the church across the street had been rocked off its foundation. But their house and home had been left completely untouched. All around them, the tornado had hit, but they were safe. And that farmer was my grandfather, and his little six-year-old daughter was our mother. And that had a huge impact on her life, seeing her mom cry out to God and seeing God respond in faith. And even now, our mother at 73 years of age still gets up early every morning. She prays for her three sons and her 19 grandchildren by name.
Wow.
And so people wonder, you know, we're standing on the shoulders, the legacy of so many prayers that have gone before us, and we feel you know, the fear of the Lord and the responsibility to continue passing on a legacy of prayer and faith to the next generation.
Wow, what an honor to your mom. So would you say that the prayer mentor, I can't remember her name, but that darling older woman who spoke in such fiery ways, was she inspired by your mom or and other people, maybe a composite of several?
Yes, definitely a composite of several. Mm. Alex had developed the storyline of War Room and the character of Miss Clara. And we loved making this family an African-American family in this movie because of the humor and the passion and the faith that they bring to the screen. And it works so well. But Miss Claire was inspired by multiple women, and our mother was definitely one of them.
My mentor is Miss Clara as well. That's how she talks. She puts that fist in the air, and she talks the word. And I'm just like, oh, my word. I felt like I was home. I was watching it. So, Alex, talk about this film, The War Room. We've got about 3 minutes to our break, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show talking War Room. But just set up the synopsis, if you would, the storyline.
The Jordan family, Tony and Elizabeth Jordan, seemingly are impressive on the outside. He's a pharmaceutical salesman and is the most successful in his company. She's a real estate agent, and their daughter is Danielle. And they know how to look sharp, dress sharp, and act sharp in public. And behind the scenes, we see that their marriage is frazzled and is deteriorating. And, of course, their daughter is caught in the middle of all this. So when they face their issues the way most of us face them initially, you nag each other and whine and try to fix one another. And as we know, the Holy Spirit can do the fixing way better than we can. And so the wife, Elizabeth, goes to sell a house, and an elderly woman who she meets there picks up that she's struggling in her marriage just from a few side comments on her phone, and she asks her about it and says, you know, I can teach you how to fight the right way. And, of course, being a professional, Elizabeth initially doesn't want to talk about it, but she becomes intrigued with a few comments the elderly woman makes, and the elderly woman wisely draws her in to minister to her. And she ends up challenging her, asking her, can I spend 1 hour a week with you, mentoring you on how to fight your battles the right way with the right resources? Eventually, Elizabeth does that, and she learns the power of prayer as she applies what she's learning to her own prayer life. She develops a war room at home, and we see how that, when you seek God first, when you devote things to Him first, the difference that can make. And so there's lots of roller coaster emotions, ups and downs, twists and turns, but hopefully people will leave this movie saying, I want a growing, developing prayer life. I want to go deeper. I want to seek the Lord like never before and make sure that His hand is on me.
Mm, it's such a fantastic story. I got to ask, did you have Priscilla Shire in mind when you wrote this story, or did she come to mind after the fact, Alex?
We have to admit she was the first person we had in mind.
Yeah.
You know, we don't just want good acting, and of course we do want good acting, but we want people with God's hand on them doing what only God can do, and we want people that will represent the biblical truth in the movies very well, and she's already doing that. And so, as a matter of fact, when we first asked her if she would audition for the role, she laughed. She said, I've never done a movie before, and we said, we totally understand, but you're so effective in your speaking. You're used to being in front of crowds and cameras. Would you try it for this role? And she poured herself into it. We got acting coaches to help her for months leading up to the movie, and she was just fantastic and was an honor to work with. And if once you see the film, to any listener that's listening to this, once you see the film, you will agree this does not look like her first movie. She
not
looks like
all.
A seasoned actress.
Does she ever? And she is effective, and you were so wise to choose someone like her because she oozes this truth that she's acting out on the screen. Talking to Stephen and Alex Kendrick about The War Room, which coming up this weekend. More with these guys in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to be talking to Alex and Stephen Kendrick today. They are producers of the brand new movie, new film hitting the theaters this weekend, The War Room. You probably know them from Courageous and Facing the Giants and a few other films. And this one is on prayer. It is powerful. Just before the break, we were talking about how they put Priscilla Shire in one of the lead roles, and she was fantastic. She knocked it out of the park. And Beth Moore makes a cameo appearance. I got to know, Stephen, I'll go with you on this one, how that came to play, just her little sweet mug showing up in that film.
Well, we were actually in Charlotte casting for the movie, and we had a couple of side small roles that we needed to fill. And we had different actresses who had been in previous films come in, and they're auditioning. And we're kind of looking at each other thinking, well, you know, this one could work or this one could work. It's not a huge role, but it's the best friend of Elizabeth at work. And then Priscilla says, hey, why don't we call Beth Moore to be in that? And we looked at each other and said, are you for real? And she said, let's just see what she says. We started laughing because Beth is just exploding with personality. So she calls her up on the phone and offers her the role. And it was a joy working with Beth because we just said, play yourself in this film. But when she showed up on the set, she walked up to us. She said, I'm not going to ruin this movie in Jesus' name. God is going to help me get through this. Just keep being patient with me. We'll get it right. Tell me what I did wrong, but I refuse to ruin your movie.
Oh, that's just so like her, isn't it? Bless her heart. That was great. And also Michael Jr., the comedian, right? You have him there.
Yes. We met Michael years ago on a Family Life cruise. And just an awesome guy with a great testimony. He deeply loves the Lord. He's very, very funny. And so we ended up writing that character into the movie and using him, just planning on using Michael Jr. And so we wrote some funny lines in the storyline, but a lot of the funniest lines in the movie that come out of his mouth were between those takes where we just said, Michael, do whatever you want to. Take this and run with it. And he was coming up with spontaneous stuff left and right.
Wow.
That is now in the film.
Unbelievable. So, Alex, between you and Stephen, who does most of the writing and how do you do that creative process behind the scenes?
Well, both of us are gifted in certain ways, and so we try to honor each other's strengths. For me, I'm a little bit more the storyteller, so I'll major on the script, the directing, and the editing. Stephen majors on the producing and our ministry material. So if you remember the Love Dare book or the resolution books and then this new one, the Battle Plan for Prayer that's coming out, really that walks you through how to strategically pray over every area of your life. Stephen did more of the work on those. Now, we both work on everything. It's just usually 60, 40, 70, 30 as far as workload. But we love doing that together. It's been a joy because the Lord's gifted us a little bit differently, and even though our interests overlap, I love that Stephen wants to do the things that I'm not that great at and vice versa. So it's been a real honor.
Well, I've raised three sons, and I love the brotherly love between you two, but I also know you can't possibly always agree. Do you just go out and wrestle it out, or how do you handle that, Alex?
Well, we years ago, this is Stephen, I would sometimes say things to embarrass Alex, you know, in front of his friends, or he would do the same thing to me. And we made the decision in our early college years that we were going to be a team and support each other. And we'd seen other brothers do that, and we're impressed with that. And so that was a God decision because now we respect one another's turf. We pray together often. We make decisions together in that context. We realize that God has given us unique discernment. So Alex will discern things that I don't see, and I'll discern things he doesn't see. And so it has been really good, though. And now our oldest brother, Shannon, has joined the team, and he's actually been on the journey with us with War Room.
What does Shannon do?
He is our director of operations. He was a computer programmer for 20 years at IBM. And he's more of a behind-the-scenes, quiet guy, but he helps us really run Kendrick Brothers Productions and keep the bills paid and stay legal.
Yay, that's good. Everybody needs one of those kind of guys, right? So, Alex, I'll direct this to you, but I'd love for both of you to speak to it. But in one of your resources, The Battle Plan for Prayer, you wrote that God in His Word has offered us some rules of engagement to make us rough, tough, and battle-ready for the difficult days ahead. And just at the speaking event this past weekend, I was saying how, you know, God, of course, has won the war, but we have a battle to fight. The enemy, we have an opposer. He accuses. He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And as women, you know, I'm speaking to women, we need to get a little bit of grit in our growl and know how to learn to draw a line in the sand. This isn't just for men, this kind of battle-ready prayer. So, Alex, start with you. Talk about how God's Word helps us, makes us rough, tough, and battle-ready in these difficult days.
Well, first, when you know your enemy, you know where to do your shooting. And when we walk around shooting at the wrong yeah. enemy, that gets us absolutely nowhere. Yeah. And so you're correct. We have a very devious enemy that wants to do everything he can to prevent us from growing spiritually, from praying to the Lord, from loving the way he taught us to love. And so the way he does that, he distracts us, deceives us, and divides us. He distracts us from what we should be focused on, deceives us according to God's word. You know, even in the Garden of Eden, when he said, "Hath God said," you know, he questions real truth, and then he divides us. He tries to divide us from the Lord, from, you know, from your spouse, your children, from others in Christian fellowship, you know, because if he can seclude you, you know, where none of us are meant to exist outside of the body of Christ as a Christian, if he can seclude you, he can weaken you. And so the battle plan for prayer walks you through what prayer is, what it is not, and how to use it effectively based on Scripture. And so we hope that people will pick up a copy and say, wow, this helps me know how to pray for my spouse, my children, the issues in my life, even my neighbor, and all the way up to the leaders of our culture, which Jesus tells us we ought to be praying for.
Mm. Stephen, I'd love for you to speak to that as well, especially in light of like the parable of the soils, how one of the soils, it shows kind of a shallow soil where you get a sprout because someone responds to the truth, but as soon as the trouble comes, that thing is uprooted because there's not depth there. And when you're talking being battle ready, it does require some maturity, some depth, and some perseverance. What do you say?
Absolutely. Jesus said, take heed when you hear the word of God. And so for us, we need to be praying that God will open our eyes to the truths of his word. When I'm sitting down and having a devotion time with the Lord, I'll start off and say, Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my heart? Would you speak to me? Would you help me to understand truths from your word? David said in the Old Testament, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law, O Lord. And so for us, it is, anytime we're engaging in the day, there is a spiritual warfare going on all around us. We're supposed to be putting on the armor of God. And then Paul says, praying at all times with prayer and supplication for all the saints. And so for us, we're praying for ourselves. God, keep us usable. Keep us humble before you. Keep us in tune with your voice. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to delight in you and put you first in our lives. And then when we're praying for our children and other people who are around us, my approach now is just to ask for the moon. You know, we know that our Heavenly Father knows what prayers to answer and when to answer them, and we want him to be glorified in the context of each situation. And so we say, Lord, here is my heart's desire, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Mm. So powerful. And Alex, and I'm thinking of Miss Clara again, this frail little darling woman who is just, who's got the enemy, you know, running for his life because she knows who she is in Christ Jesus. And one of the things I often say at women's conferences is you don't have to have perfect thighs to kick over a mountain, you know, because we base so much as women on our external appearance, and you don't have to be anything to look at if you're mighty in God and you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And I want you to speak to the idea of fighting for what's right in your family. I want you, you know, even this whole war room mentality, if you even have a personal story from your own life or you guys' ministry life where you think this is something God has promised us, this is something the enemy is threatening to take away, we're going to battle for this thing, and then you saw it turn around. Can you think of an example, Alex, from your life or ministry life?
Yes. You know what? I have six children, and, yeah. and the three oldest are in their teen years. So my wife and I are learning about the adventure of raising teenagers. And so many parents, no doubt, will identify with that are listening right now. But you know, the identity of my children is a big deal when they are teenagers. You know, they want to be respected, loved, and admired by their peers. And so there's you know, the growing pressure around them, not only from the world, but from their peers. So I wanted their identity found in the Lord and in who God says they are, and then the fact that their parents love them, and they would all say that they're loved. So what I did when we had a little bit of a struggle with what some of their peers were saying about them, I went to the Word and I challenged my children with this. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, where it talks about, you know, for my son, how can a young man keep his way pure? And it talks about staying in the Word and finding his identity there. For my daughter, praying for wisdom and discernment out of James 1, 5. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives the almond liberally, and it shall be given to him. And when I think about keeping your heart pure, away from all the lusts of the flesh and things like that for my kids, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. So I'm learning how to be more strategic in the way I pray for them and in teaching them the Word of God so they can call up these passages and lean on them. And so, you know, so we're in the midst of, and we got great kids, but they have struggles like many kids have. And so whether it's, you know, temptation here or there, or looking at something you shouldn't be looking at, or finding your identity and the right sources, working that through, and of course, Scripture and praying that through is a big deal and a major part of winning those battles.
Indeed, indeed. How about you, Stephen? Any stories from your personal life or ministry where you engaged and you've been fighting and you've seen a breakthrough?
Well, I have on my wall in my prayer closet different things I'm praying for my wife and for my children and for myself. And it's been so exciting to always see answers to prayer. Jesus said that in John that when our prayers are answered, the Father is glorified in the Son, and he said, and our joy is made full. And so I think every church ought to be having members that walk in the door with fresh answers to prayer that they can share with other people to share the joy of what God's been doing in their lives. And so my daughter, we were praying for her salvation, asking God to do a work in her. And the Lord just convicted her in his own timing, and she came to us and started talking about wanting to surrender her life to Christ. And she said that my son had been writing a prayer card praying for his sister to come to know the Lord too. And she came to us and she said, I know I prayed a prayer or said I did months ago, but I lied. she said, but now I've gotten convicted and I really want to give my heart to the Lord. So she, I said, do you want us to talk with you and pray with you, or do you want to do this on your own? She says, I want to go pray alone. And so she went to my prayer closet, and it was interesting because this is where I've been praying for her salvation.
Wow.
She went in there and shut the door, and she came back a few minutes later, and she was just beaming.
Wow.
And she said, I prayed two times just to make sure this was real, you know. But she had given her heart to the Lord, and she went into her sister's room, and she said, this is the greatest day of my life.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow.
I got to baptize her in our church, and we've seen, again, those First John evidences of salvation showing up in her life.
Indeed.
Where you're seeing a love for others, a conviction of sin. She's come to us multiple times since then, just wanted to confess something and clear her conscience because she wants to stay tender to the Lord. So we're seeing now, again, answers to prayer in the hearts of our children.
Praise
One
God.
Of the things that we've learned going through this journey is that you don't just pray for physical needs to be met. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 3, he is praying to the Father through the Son that God, through his Holy Spirit, will open the eyes of the hearts of believers so that they would know who they are in Christ, how much he loves them, how powerful he is at work with them. So he's going after the heart. And I believe that we need to learn to go after the heart in our prayer lives as well.
Indeed. I think we have to believe that prayer actually changes things, because we're going to just dabble in it. It's like dabbling in brain surgery. You know, we're going to dabble in it if we don't really believe that God hears us when we call. He moves when we pray. I mean, it matters how we live and when we stand on his word. But things actually change when we pray. That seems so simple and simplistic. But it's true, because when he does answer, we're so surprised, you know. Talking to Stephen and Alex Kendrick and their new film coming out this weekend, The War Room, talking about the power of prayer, the importance of prayer, the reality that God hears when his people pray. Boy, we've got more to talk about. Don't go away. More with the Kendrick brothers when we come back. You know, the Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. It matters that we pray. It matters when we pray. It matters how we pray. We cry out to God. And when you think about the prayer of the righteous, part of that is our right standing before God because of what Christ has done. And part of it is living righteously. You can't have a duplicity in your life and expect God to give you everything you want. And I'd love for you two to speak about that because you talk about it in the battle plan for prayer. And you talked about it at the beginning of the show that the abiding life does matter because God is holy and he's just and he's not going to look away from things maybe we're doing over here when we're praying for this thing over there. Alex, let's start with you just talking about, I mean, God wants to hear us no matter how we pray when we pray. But it does matter how we live when it comes to how we pray.
It absolutely does. You know, what we can't do is live one way and pray to God and expect him to honor our prayer requests when we're not honoring him with our life. And so numerous times he tells us that certain things hinder our prayer life. You know, doubt hinders it. If we're mistreating someone or if we're not forgiving someone, that hinders it. You know, he tells us, you know, if you do not forgive others, neither will I forgive you. We'll talk about a major roadblock to your prayer life. And so, you know, even making the film, numerous times I had to make sure, Lord, I want you to do a work in my life, even as I make this film. So anytime there was something in my heart where I was frustrated at someone or embittered at all, I had to make sure, Lord, I release them, I forgive them, just as I need you forgiving me. And you know, as we all know, bitterness can be like a cancer. And so today I can say I don't hold anything against anyone. And I'm not talking about responding to something that is wrong with the right type of righteous anger. There is a time and a place for that. But I'm talking about not holding anything over someone's head that you should forgive. And so, there's a lot of things that can hinder prayer life, your prayer life. So it's so important to seek the Lord.
Stephen, you want to add to that? Did I lose him?
We approach God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We approach God on his terms, not on our terms. He is holy. It is an honor for us to come before him. If we think about what his son did in order for us just to be able to approach him through his death on the cross, tearing the veil from top to bottom, interceding on our behalf, Hebrews says, because of what Jesus has done, we can therefore approach the throne of grace in our time of need. And so it is so important that there is a reverence in our hearts for the Lord. I think about Hebrews talking about Jesus when he was on the earth. It says that he cried out to his Father, who he knew could save him from death. And he was heard because of his respect and fear. And I'm thinking, this is Jesus, the Son of God. And he's treating his Father with incredible reverence and respect. How much more so should we treat our Heavenly Father when we're the sinful ones with incredible reverence and respect? And so that should affect our humility as we approach the Lord because he resists the proud. We should let no bitterness, as Alex said, we should let no unconfessed sin remain in our lives. It is such an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to a holy, omniscient God who created this universe. He's inviting us into a relationship with him. But we have to approach him on his terms, not on ours. And so one thing we talk about in the battle plan for prayer is getting aligned through Jesus Christ with God's will, with his word, and getting right with other people with no bitterness in your heart, getting your heart right where you're praying in faith and persistence and waiting on God's timing. But it is a privilege to be in that abiding relationship with him.
It indeed is. And he invites us to this intimate walk of faith, to this abiding life. But sometimes, maybe it's just the culture that we live in, we reduce that to making him kind of like a fishing buddy. And that, to me, we miss something when we're so chummy that we forget exactly what you just said, that he is the star-breathing God, he is holy. And I just think you want to transform your prayer life. Pause for a moment before you pray and remember who it is you're talking to. Just that. I mean, just pause for a moment and remember who it is you're talking to and approach him with reverence. I think it reminds you that he's far more powerful. We want to reduce him to something that he's not to make it comfortable for us. But I think it's much more, I feel more secure in him when I don't do that. You know, Alex?
Well, Revelation chapter 1 talks about John approaching God and what he saw. And if you think about anyone who encountered the holiness of God, whether it be Moses in the Old Testament, whether it be Job it always affected their speech. They were stunned, or they were silenced, or they were putting their hands over their mouths. But John fell on his face. He said, I was like I was dead because of the awesomeness of the Lord before me. And so you're absolutely right. We should take a breath, that Selah moment, before we're approaching God. And sometimes we need to let our words be few and be in reverent awe before Him. And it's a beautiful thing, because when we fear the Lord, He takes away all of our other fears.
Amen. When we fear the Lord, He takes away all of our other fears. Maybe that needs to sink in for somebody struggling with fear today. So good. We just have a couple minutes here before I ask you to pray. And I don't know if you guys are passing a mic back and forth, so I don't want to make it harder for you. So I want to ask whatever one has got the mic right now. Were there any surprises that ended up in this film that you didn't plan on, didn't expect, but God really dropped them in to your surprise? Whichever one of you has the mic, I'd love to hear.
There were the funny surprises of Michael Jr.'s humor. There was the surprises of how good Priscilla Shire did in acting in the film. There were the surprises of God sending the right locations right when we needed it at just the right time. There were the surprises of ministry that happened on set, the double Dutch jump roping theme that we had in the movie. We brought in a professional jump roping coach, and he gave his life to Christ.
Oh, my.
Movie shoot. I mean, wow. We ended up baptizing him in the swimming pool of one of the guys there in Charlotte with us, one of our friends. And so, but it's always exciting when you pray, God, would you do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine? Because He can do we can imagine a lot, but He can do so much more than that. And so the stories not only of answered prayer, but of just that divine intervention where God is showing up and He's bringing healing. We had people that were on our crew that had gotten beat up on other films, and they experienced a lot of healing on the set because it was such a ministry atmosphere. So we're praying now because the finished product has turned out so good. And the Miss Clara scenes end up being so much more powerful than we thought. And so that closing prayer that she prays is actually what we hope will happen as a result of War Room, that God will raise up a generation of prayer warriors.
Hallelujah. Well, I got to tell you, sitting in that theater when we were there on Media Pass, everybody screamed and howled and clapped and went crazy at the end. They just loved it. And then we all closed in prayer before we left the theater. So it was a super sweet time. And just real quick question for you, Alex, and then I'm going to ask you to pray. How have the theaters responded to you? I mean, I don't know the dynamics, politics, how that all works, but how they've responded to you?
The pre-screenings have been beyond our expectations. You know, we've had people that wanted to renew their walk with the Lord, that recommitted to prayer. We had couples that left committing to pray together on a regular basis in their marriage. We had one person that already professed faith in Jesus Christ at the end of a screening. And so, and these are just in the pre-screenings that we've done for leaders and, you know, a few others. But all I can say is God is doing something beyond us. He's doing something that goes far beyond what we're capable of, and we say praise God for that. We want to see spiritual awakening. We want to see revival, and if this film can be a small part of that, then hallelujah.
And I pray the film is a big part of that. I can't thank you too enough for the courage and the grit and the conviction to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Alex, since you have that mic, wondering if you would wrap up. And I just pray, I ask you to pray for the listeners, that there would be a revival in prayer, just even for those listening today, that they would sense the invitation from the Lord to be much with Him. Would you pray?
Lord Jesus, we know that we are in the last days. And Lord, we know that as a nation, in many ways, we deserve your judgment. But Lord, we ask that you would lift up the remnant, those that seek you and long for a relationship with you, those that truly put their faith and trust in you. Lord, protect them, make them strong. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be salt and light in these days, that we take our faith seriously, and that you pull us to you through prayer, Lord. Give us a burden to pray. And Lord, I ask that you use this film War Room, that you use these resources, the battle plan for prayer, and what so many others are doing, Lord, it honors you. We ask that you lift it up and draw men and women to it. And Lord, that you would save many in these days. Lord, we ask that you would protect us from the enemy's attacks. And Lord, that you would build our faith. And we give you glory in advance for what you will do and what you are doing. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Alex and Stephen, thank you. Thank you for your time today. Can't thank you enough. Bless you both.
Thank you so much, Susie. I want that quote again. You said, any gifts of God's hand pale in comparison
to the treasure of knowing, any gift from his hand treasures or pales in the comparison to the treasure of knowing his heart. And I'm going to be praying for you both this week, and God bless you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. That's Hour 1. What a great conversation with the Kendrick brothers. Coming up next, Carrie Scott will talk about how to untangle our insecurities. Another great hour coming up next.